It's good to be with you tonight and to be able to speak to you about the work in South Africa. And, of course, the congregation here has been involved in the work in South Africa for quite a long time. You've been associated with them. My uncle Stephen Williams has been here with you for quite a while, and I'm sure all of you know that he grew up in South Africa. And you've been supporting my grandfather, Paul Williams, there for quite a long time. I'm not sure how long, but a long time. And Mzwandile Gazu as well. And you also support Alan Fox. I'm not going to talk so much about Alan Fox tonight. He's a wonderful man, and I love being with him whenever I can, but we're not as close in South Africa as with my grandfather and Mzwandile. So those are the ones I'm going to talk about tonight, as well as some of my work. You may have another connection you don't know. Eric Hamilton came over and preached a gospel meeting for us back in 2010 and did a great job. And the brethren there were very happy and wanted him to come back, and he never did. So shame on you. But we've had a lot of connections here. Of course, Brother Larry has come over several times, and now he decided to work in Malawi, and that's just wonderful what he's doing. And so this congregation is very special to brethren in South Africa, whether you financially support us or not, and we thank God for you. Tonight, we are talking about God's work in South Africa, and I'll talk about the work of some individual men and women, but really, when we look at the good that's being done, we have to keep in mind it's the Lord's work. It's through the gospel. Any good that is done, anyone who comes to the truth, that truth comes from God. God gave us the word. He gave us the instructions on how to teach it, how to bring people to him. And so there's nothing special about the men who and women who are doing this, except that we're doing it. That's really it. Anybody who knows the word of God can do this work. But I hope that what you learned tonight or are refreshed on tonight will be encouraging to you to continue your work here as well as supporting the work there. For those that are not as up on world geography, South Africa is a country. Very often people think it's just talking about Southern Africa, and it is Southern Africa. It's the very bottom of the continent, but it's the country of South Africa that we're dealing with. It's a large country as far as most countries go. It's about twice the size of Texas, and there's quite a few different tribes who live there. There's 11 official languages. Now, those include English and Afrikaans, which are spoken mostly by the white people or the people who are of mixed race, which in South Africa are called the colored people. It's not a racial slur there. It's just what they want to be called. So mostly they speak the same language as the white people in the region where they are. But there's 9 then tribal languages that are major languages in the country. We are on the eastern side of the country. When I say we, I mean myself, my grandfather, and Mzwandile Gazu. We all live in the small town of Ashawi. And we are all members of the congregation there. It's a decent-sized congregation, especially for South Africa. There's about 55 members, something like that, plus children. And some people wonder, why do you need 3 full-time preachers in one congregation that size in a little town? And I'll talk about that a little bit more as we go along. There are 2 large cities close by, Richards Bay on the north, and there's actually another city that's right next to it, Empangani, and they're almost the same city. There's a church in each one of those. The one in Empangani is quite small. The church in Richards Bay is at least as large as the one in Ishawi. Many of the members there actually came from Ishawi. They left the small town to the big city to get work, and so quite a few of the members from Ishawi have moved on to there. In Durban, to the south of Ishawi, there's five or six faithful congregations. There's quite a few. It's a larger city, and there's a high population there of Indians. These are descended from people brought over from India by the British as indentured servants to work in the cane fields, the sugar cane fields. And over a couple of generations, they've worked themselves generally into a very good position in society. They're doing quite well, but most of the Christians there in Durban are Indians. There are white Christians there. There are black Christians. There may be some colored Christians, although I don't know of any there in particular. We have some in Ishawi, and I know of some in other places. Brother Alan Fox is a colored man. He and his wife, they are colored, a mixed race, and so they have the advantage that they speak a couple of different languages fluently because of their background in that, but they're in the Johannesburg area. Durban's not quite as big of a city as Johannesburg or Cape Town, but it's still a pretty good-sized city. There are other smaller places around that we work in where there are churches. I'll talk more about those in a little bit. There are other big cities around the country that have churches. Cape Town is a very large city, more than 4 million people. But there's not so many Christians in Cape Town. Robin Bauer and some others are working very hard there. But there's only a couple of churches that are faithful that I know of there. I believe the institutional Christians who are there are quite a few more. But as far as ones who do not follow that path, there's not so many there in Cape Town. In Johannesburg, there are a number of faithful congregations. I don't know how many. I'm only personally familiar with two of them, Brixton, where Brother Fox is, and Brakpan. But there's a number of other faithful churches around Johannesburg. It's also more than 4 million. It's a very large city. And then Pretoria, the capital of the country, has a congregation. And then Polokwane, mostly with college students who go to school there. But a couple who moved there for work got a congregation started. And the Beckleys helped them out a lot. And the Beckleys live in Louis Trichardt, which is right next to the large area of Venda. Venda is a tribal area, and it's the smallest tribe, but I think it probably has the most Christians among them. There's a lot of churches in Venda. Some of them struggle with different problems, but that's true everywhere, isn't it? There are a lot of really good men and women there who've been Christians for a very long time. My grandfather, when he moved to South Africa, was in Johannesburg, and he would make regular trips to Venda to preach there. Now, that was under the days of apartheid. He had to get special permission to go into the black areas, but they gave that to him, and he was able to make it work. But there's a lot of really solid Christians up there. But my grandfather moved to Ishawi about 30-something years ago because he wanted to work with the Zulus, and that's where Ishawi is. It's right in the middle of Zulu land. And the Zulus are the largest tribe in the country. And there were some Zulu Christians, but there were no full-time preachers, as far as I know, working directly with them. And he wanted to do that, and he's been doing that ever since. He certainly works with whoever he can, but he moved to an area where it's primarily Zulus that he's dealing with. And that's where Mzwandile Gazu is. He is a Zulu. He was taught the gospel in high school. out in a rural area in Kandla, not far from Ishawi. And he obeyed the gospel, but the preacher who taught him the gospel was David Ngonyama, and he baptized him and two other young men, and then they never saw him again. He went home, Mzwandile went home, got beaten by his grandfather because his grandfather is an ancestor worshiper, and he was expecting that. He knew that he would be in trouble for being baptized, but he knew that was what he needed to do. So he had obeyed the gospel, but his grandfather wouldn't let him go to church anywhere, which he says is a good thing, because at that point he didn't understand the difference between the Lord's church and denominations. And so he would have just gone to a denomination and probably ended up following into that doctrine if his grandfather had allowed him to go to church. But for his last year of high school, he came to Ishawi. And in Ishawi, he found David Ngonyama and the church there. He didn't even speak English for a long time, even though he was in his last year of high school. But he wanted to talk to my grandfather without an interpreter, and so he just made himself learn English. Now he's our best interpreter. He's excellent in his English, and he's an excellent preacher of the gospel. So we have that blessing there in Ishawi among the Zulus, such a good Zulu preacher. But there are other churches around, and this is not all of the churches. There are some that are so close to these other stars that I just didn't put them in. And I'm sure there are other churches that I don't know about, but these are primarily the ones I know about. And you'll notice that they kind of go around the outside coast almost of the country, and not so much into the northwest. And I think that's primarily because there's not as many people as you go into the northwest. So preachers have been concentrating where there are the most people. There has been preaching in other places, but I don't know of any faithful Christians very far into the interior there. Through the correspondence course that I have online, a man from the Northwest Province was baptized a year or so ago, but he was in the Johannesburg area at the time. I'm not sure if he's gone back or not, but so some people are still able to learn the truth, even through the correspondence courses, but not as much work is being done in those areas, I think, because there's not as many people. But Ishawi is a small town. It's about 15,000 in population. This is an old picture of the town, so there's two robots missing. For those that don't know what a robot is, that's a traffic light. That's what we call them in South Africa, is robots. I don't know why, but... But mostly it looks about the same. So it's one main street. This is the street where the banks, the shops, all of those things are. There's other roads around town, but this is the main where most things are. And if you follow this road all the way down and around, you'll go by the church building and then eventually my grandfather's house. But we do have big cities, such as Johannesburg and Durban and others. So South Africa is not the bush. It's not mostly. Most people live in cities. Most people have conveniences available to them. It's not like most of Africa, really. It's very modern in South Africa. My grandfather, Paul Williams, he's 87 years old now. He's been preaching in South Africa for 50 years this year. So he's been there for quite a while and done a lot of good work. And he continues to do a lot of good work. At 87, he can't drive anymore. He has macular degeneration, so he's mostly blind. He can still read a bit on a computer or a Kindle at the big font sizes. But he often has other people read to him. Zippo, here, his foster son, is very good about that, although he does not enjoy reading commentaries to him. Honestly, I probably wouldn't either. Commentaries tend to use words we don't use in normal everyday speech, and so he has to keep asking, "What's this word?" You know, but he's very good. He's his driver. He helps him with his finances. He helps him with everything. He's just really, really good. Unfortunately, he didn't get a visa to come with my grandfather last time he came, or you guys would have met him. He's a really great guy and very helpful in the work. But my grandfather is still going strong. He's still working with several congregations, five on a regular basis. So why do we have three full-time preachers in Eshowee? We're hardly ever all in Eshowee at the same time, at least on a Sunday morning. We all go out to preach in other places, and Eshowee is a good central place. That's why my grandfather ended up moving there, because it was a good central place to work among the Zulus. So he works with the churches in Richards Bay and Impingani. He works with one in Pietermaritzburg, which is another fairly large city near Durban, and one in Newcastle, which he helped to get started a few years ago, which is a three-hour drive. So 3 hours there, preach, teach, 3 hours back. And at 87, that wears you out, but he's still happy to do that because he knows he's still doing good. My grandmother, Helen Williams, passed away a year and a half ago, a little bit more, a month before Elijah was born. And so that was sad, but she had Alzheimer's, or at least dementia, for a while before that. And even though she was still okay, you know, you almost say it's better to go before it gets too bad. And it was hard on my grandfather, and I think still is a little bit, but he's handled it as well as anybody I've seen. And he never let that interfere with the work. He just keeps going. And I think that helps as well, just being busy. We had a memorial service for her, and some people got to come from over here, and we were very happy that they got to make it for that. Lots of people from all over South Africa came to her memorial service because she, you know, has done a lot of good over the years. It's not just my grandfather, and it's not just that she supported him, even though that's a great, great work. But she had personally helped so many people. People came from all over, and it was a really good memorial service. One of the things my grandfather does is he owns two different Bakkies. Those are pickup trucks. And the sole purpose, really, of these is to get people to church, because a lot of people don't have transportation. And so this is Brother Wonderful and his wife from Richards Bay. And he drives one of the Bakkies to pick up people to take them to church in Richards Bay. This is just to give you an idea of what it looks like on the inside of the back of the pickup truck. So there's a canopy and there's benches. So it's not like they're sitting on the floor of the pickup truck. But it's not the most comfortable ride you've ever had. These people are used to it. This is how they get around a lot of the time, even if they're going to school or to work or wherever. So it's not like it's a big difference for them to go to church this way. But it is something that's different there. And my grandfather, one of the things he does is just make sure people can get to church. And there's one in Eshowee that brings people as well. In Eshowee, there's a couple of ladies with their children who come from the other side from where most people are coming from. So Brother Longa will drive out there in the morning, pick them up first, take them and drop them off at the church building 2 hours before we start services on Sunday morning. And then they have to wait from 7 until 9 in the morning as he goes and he gets other people. And then after church, they have to wait at the church building for 2 hours while he takes everybody else back, and then he can take them home. How many of you would be willing to do that? Hopefully everybody, if it was necessary, right? I hope so. But it's not the kind of thing we would like to do. But they seem quite happy doing that, and they're very regular in their attendance. This is just a picture of inside the church building, the congregation in Ishawi. Now, it's not always quite this full. This was during a gospel meeting. So brethren from Richards Bay come. Brother Wonderful will bring a baki full quite often to that, or he'll take them to tent meetings as well. But you get an idea of some of the brethren who are there. Mzwan Dile, I've already told you a little bit about his background, but he works with about 6 congregations on a fairly regular basis. Some of the same ones my grandfather works with, as well as in Nongoma. And I also go to Nongoma. There's 4 men in Ishawi who take turns going to preach in Nongoma. It's a 3-hour drive from Ishawi. But again, transportation is a problem. If we don't go and take Mzwan Dile's pickup truck, his baki, then people can't get to church. More than half the congregation does not live in Nongoma. We pick them up along the way. And so it's important not just for the preaching, but even for people to be able to meet that we go. But they also need preaching. And the young men who are there aren't quite mature enough to take that on themselves, the preaching and the teaching. I think some of them, before too long, may be able to do some of that, but we'll see if they stay there, because it's not a good place to find work. So that's another problem. Young men move to the big cities, which you can't blame them for. They need to find work, but anyway, that's another place that Mzwan Dile and I both work with. This is Mzwan Dile's wife, Amanda. You may hear about her in the reports. Often you hear about her diabetes, that she struggles with that. And you notice she's not diabetic because she's overweight. She has type 1 diabetes. Never was because of her weight. She's very fit, very healthy, but her diabetes is still a problem, even to the point where at sometimes she'll be driving and get to a stop sign and not move because she's now in a diabetic coma. That's happened before. Thankfully, she had the handbrake on. She's always happy when we see her. You never know it to just talk to her. But she really does struggle with those things. And so that affects Mzwan Dile's work slightly. You wouldn't know it if you read his reports and see what all he does. But it does affect his decisions. He doesn't always go out to tent meetings that are far away because he doesn't want to leave his wife alone at night. Because if she gets into a diabetic coma, the kids aren't exactly old enough to handle that on their own. These are their kids. Ezile, Snazo, and Sibonga. And great kids. They're smart. They're some of the best Bible students in my Friday class. Well, not Sibonga yet, but she's pretty young. But the older ones are quick to pick things up. This is the church at Nongoma that I mentioned Mzwan Dile and I both work with. They meet in a creche, which is a preschool, and it's a mix of old and young. But the lady in the red sitting down there, she was converted through the radio program that Mzwan Dile Gazu does. So he does a radio program every Sunday night and has for several years. I'm not sure how many years this has been going on, but the church in Ishawi pays for this. And he does the program. And a couple of the people in this area were converted through that. So this is Mzwandile and Kanyile Majola together on the radio. Kanyile sometimes will do it if Mzwandile is busy with something else, but mostly it's Mzwandile who is on the radio. Kanyile, I'll just talk about him briefly. He's a nurse, and he was a member of a church, a denomination called the Church of Christ that taught the true gospel, but they had an unscriptural organization. They were they had some false teaching about the Holy Spirit, I believe, and some other things. And so he heard the radio program when he moved to Ishawi, and he started coming to church. And although he didn't like some of the things he saw, when he talked to Mzwandile, Mzwandile was able to show him the scriptures. This is why we do things the way we do them. And he was quite happy with, okay, if the scriptures say it, then that's right. And so he repented. He's been very faithful, and he's been a good preacher as well. He does a lot of work with people that he works with. There's a young lady who's a nurse who is converted through his influence and teaching and bringing her to church and all of that. He's been working with other churches that he was familiar with before. Some were institutional churches that are now coming out of that, that I'm starting to work with as well. And he's done a lot of good. He's been very impressive in his zeal for the Lord. One of the places that was reached through the radio program was Igunjaneni. And if you read Mzwandile's most recent report, I think, well, I'm not sure if he sent a report since then, actually. It was on Facebook. But they had a tent meeting out there very recently while I've been over here, and a lady was baptized up there due to the tent meeting. But there were already some Christians up there. He's been going up there every week to have studies with them, and it's a long distance. Brother, my father-in-law, Brother Crafts, he can tell you how far it is because he's gone with him before up there. I haven't been up there, but I know the area that they're talking about. It's a drive. It's not something I'd really want to do every week. And in fact, he's gotten to where I think he's doing it every other week, because he was going to Richards Bay on one day and then to Igunjaneni the next day every week. And both of those are pretty long distances. And so he's doing one week and the other the next, because gas prices are pretty high over there. And most of the students are the same, because he takes a lot of the same students up to this class that come to the class in Richards Bay. So he said, I think it'll work just as well if we do it every other week. So he started doing that recently. But he's extremely busy with classes and teaching people. He does a great, great work in that. And a lot of it is because of the radio program. But otherwise, you know, Christians call him because they know they can trust him to come if they ask. And he speaks fluent Zulu, so he doesn't have to find an interpreter to go like I would. We also have classes, but I'll talk about that in a little bit. This is Sister Shandu. She's a member in Ishawi. She lives up the mountain a little ways, but she also heard the gospel through the radio program. This is her house. She's one of our poorest members, probably. So she lives in this mud house. She's had us out there, had Brother Larry out there to feed us before. Very generous woman, very hospitable, but very poor. But she's a great lady. She's always wanting to learn. and always asking questions in class, and it's really, really great to have her. Her grandson is also a very faithful Christian because of learning the gospel through Mzwandile's classes, and it was a result of the radio program. Now, one interesting thing with I believe it was with her, if I'm not mixing it up, but she called him Mzwandile because he gives out his phone number on the radio. She said, I want to have a study with you, but she sounded really nervous. And when he got there and he had the study afterwards, she told him why she was so nervous. It's because everybody was telling her that he was a Satan worshiper, and that, you know, if you invite him to come to a class, he's going to do something terrible to you because he's a Satan worshiper. Those are the tactics of the denominations in the area. They don't want people to listen to the truth. So they just tell people, oh, the Church of Christ, no, they're Satan worshipers. See, they won't have anything to do with us. And we're the Christians, right? So if they won't have anything to do with us, obviously they're Satan worshipers. That's just an interesting thing. You may have run into some of that over here, but I hadn't before going over there. This is another brother who heard the gospel through the radio. This is Brother Mshlongo. And he had us actually come out for a tent meeting in his area because he wanted his two wives to hear the gospel before he did what he knew he had to do. Because he understood through the studies with Mzwandile that he was not allowed by Christ to have two wives. And so he knew he had to put away his second wife. Even though I think if he had the choice, he would have kept the second one and put away the first. The first one wasn't as nice to him. But he knew he had to put away the second wife, and so he did, and he obeyed the gospel. And he's still faithful today. His sister is a Christian as well. His wives never have obeyed the gospel. He still supports his former wife. The second wife, but they're not married anymore. And so that's been a great encouragement to see someone willing to do that, to do what is necessary in repentance, even when it's that hard. Another thing that we do is tent meetings. And Mzwandile is really the hardest worker in a tent meeting, out of necessity, really. He does part of the preaching, but we'll take turns with the preaching. But every night, he does the Jewel Miller film strips, although they're not really film strips anymore. They're slides on a computer, but the Jewel Miller slides. And he's the one that does it because if I did it, and it was interpreted, it would take way too long, would never get through it. So he has to do it. I think Kanyila Majola has sat in for him once or twice now. He's learned enough about them to be able to present them fairly well. But mostly, it's been Mzwandile. So every night, for half an hour or so, he's busy talking, and he does a lot of the interpreting. We do try to use other men to interpret. And it's only if I'm preaching, or my grandfather, or if we happen to have another English speaker there who's preaching. If the preacher is preaching in Zulu in the tent meeting, we don't interpret into English because that's not the focus. We're not focused on me or my grandfather or Brittany hearing the lesson. We're focused on the Zulu speakers there. We don't use an interpreter in those cases, but if I'm preaching or some other English preacher is preaching, we use an interpreter, and Mzwandile does a lot of that, and that's hard work. Interpreting is hard work, especially to do a good job. I've used quite a few different men as interpreters. Some of them are really good. Some of them are really not very good. A lot of the younger men who speak English very well, their Zulu is not so good, even though they're Zulus. because they speak English a lot with their friends, and that's what they're hearing on the radio and TV and all of this. And so to figure out how to put into words in Zulu what they're hearing in English is difficult for them. But some of them will work at it enough to where they become pretty decent interpreters, and that's really useful when they're willing to do that. So I'll talk about this for a little bit. Mzwandile has lots of classes. I don't work as hard as Mzwandile, but I do have classes as well that Brittany and I are able to help with. So the Friday class is there up at the top. That's the young people in Ishawi. And Elijah sometimes will accompany me as a co-teacher. But usually when Brittany's got a bad headache or something, you know, something about being pregnant, I don't know. But then we have classes with some of the colored people as well. Dana there on the upper left. And down at the lower right is Mavis and her son Wesley. They were converted through a neighbor who had gotten to know Wesley and suggested that he have a study with my grandfather. So my grandfather went and sat down with him and his mother and his sister, who's also a Christian, and their neighbor, who is no longer a Christian. That's actually Dana's mom. And so he went through the Know Your Bible correspondence course. I think first he went through the big picture of the Bible presentation with them, and I helped some with those studies as well. And eventually, I took over those studies. But they are now very faithful Christians. They still struggle with different things. Dana, the one up in the left and up above, is particularly in a hard place. As I mentioned, her mother was a Christian for a short time, but she's a very immoral woman. We had to withdraw from her. Her sister's very immoral, and she has a background of being very immoral herself, but she's really made a lot of improvements since even before she became a Christian. And that's why she was looking for the truth. So she struggles with her environment and that sort of thing. But I think she's making progress. We hope so. And we used to have studies with the Majolas and with Nicole, the other nurse that Kanili helped to convert. We don't have those as much anymore. And the Majolas, I found out today, are moving, so they won't be in Ishawi anymore. We'll miss them, but we'll get to see them sometimes as we travel to other places to preach. They're sort of on the way. But then we have a class with an Indian family in Tongat near Durban. It's actually two Indian families that are related. So Sister Charmaine is a widow. Her father was a gospel preacher. Her husband's father was a preacher. And her father, her husband's father, and her husband all died in the same year. And so she's left a widow with her father gone, her father-in-law gone, with these two daughters. And she was a member of the church where her father-in-law was preaching. It's a small church, and they weren't very strong spiritually. In fact, the man on the left there is Rajan. He and his wife were not married, and yet nothing was done about it. He wasn't allowed, I think, to serve the Lord's Supper and things like that, but no real strength there. They were just living together, and it was just allowed. And so when these men died and other preachers started going out there and they found out the situation, they started teaching them much better. Scott Tope was one of those. Because it's very close by where he was. And then Richard Harding, another young man who was in the area, helped them a lot as well. And they got married. They repented. And Rajan just kept growing spiritually. And his wife, not so much. She had bipolar disorder But I don't know how much that had to do with it. Her son would not go to church or to class. He said, Mom doesn't go, so why should I? Sadly, last year, she passed away. So Rajan is left a widower. But the good that came out of it is his son comes to class, he goes to church, and his girlfriend, who's a Hindu, goes with him. And so we have hope that these classes will do good for them. And they're going to a very strong congregation now. It has elders, the only faithful church I know of in South Africa that has elders right now. And it's been very good for them. So we love that class because it feels like we're doing a lot of good. And just being with these Christians who are growing and wanting to learn more and more is always encouraging. You also support Brian Allen, and I believe you used to support Norman Simon. They work very close to each other. Brother Simon's in Uitenhage, and that's not far. It's like a half hour, 45-minute drive from Port Elizabeth, where Brian Allen is. And so I used to go every twice a year to preach meetings in Uitenhage, and when I would go there, I'd also get to preach at Port Elizabeth. They don't have meetings in Port Elizabeth. They have trouble getting people to come. But Uitenhage is so close, when they have meetings there, the people who would come to the meetings in Port Elizabeth go there. So it works out if they just have meetings in Uitenhage. I haven't gotten to do that as much since Brittany and I got married. Again, something about pregnancy and babies and stuff like that, hard to travel that far. It's a day and a half drive pretty much to get down there. But it's a small congregation, mostly Afrikaners, but they worship in English, so I don't have to use an interpreter when I'm there. But it's really good to be with those brethren. In Port Elizabeth, it's mostly English people. So even though they're not far from each other, Uitenhage is just more of an Afrikaans area. But they work, Norman Simon and Brian Allen work very closely together. One of the things we try to do is preacher training. And I'll tell you this on my grandfather. So he was supposed to be in charge of the preacher training up in Venda. James Buchanan had invited him up to do preacher training there. And I was just going to go to sort of help out. And the day before we were going to leave, he got sick. So he said, "You're going to have to do it." So James Buchanan and I did the preacher training that time. I think it went well. But it's nice to have older preachers doing preacher training too. And now Mzwandile's helped with these as well. Because he's a very experienced preacher, a lot more than I am. But we've also had some other men come to Ishawi to do preacher training. Robin Bauer from Cape Town, Brian Allen from Port Elizabeth, and Robert Buchanan from White River. And we had this not too long ago. They came and preached a meeting for us and did preacher training during the day. And that was really wonderful. It was great to have them around and to learn from them. And as I say, one thing that Mzwandile does a lot of is interpreting. And that's true in the preacher training too, because they have a lot of material to cover, and most other interpreters are slower than Mzwandile. So it's hard to get through it if he's not the interpreter. He's just really, really good and accurate, which is, it's good to be able to trust your interpreter that he is saying what you're trying to say, and you can with Mzwandile. So this is Brian Allen when he was helping with the preacher training there. As far as me, I'm happy that I've got a new coworker. Brittany has been a big help. She helps me in lots of ways. She's very organized. And I'm not, so it helps to have somebody who is. And she does a lot of teaching of the ladies' classes. There wasn't really anybody teaching ladies' classes in Ishawi for a while. And so when she came, she started doing that, and the ladies have really appreciated it. And I think that's something that when she's able to, it's really great. Of course, she's been pregnant most of the time she's been in South Africa, so it's harder for her sometimes to do that. But she's very good about doing it. Her mother has done a lot of the teaching when she's been there, and they really appreciate that. Not just in Ishawi, they invite her to come to Durban and wherever they can get her, because she does a great job of teaching the ladies. A lot of subjects that other ladies who are there just probably haven't even thought about and are really helpful. So we're thankful when she's able to do that. And then Brother Crafts, when he comes, he's only there for 3 weeks. I don't know why he wants to shortchange us, but he does a great job. He preached a meeting for us there, and usually when he's there, I don't do anything. I just take him around. I let him do all the preaching and teaching, and it's great. People love it, not having to listen to me anymore. But he really does a great job, as most people who come over do. People love to hear their brethren from other places and hear the way they present the Word of God. It's different when you've heard it from me 100 times than when somebody else comes and presents it in a little bit of a different way, and it clicks better a lot of the time. We're losing a few co-workers as well. The Kindle Balls, we don't know when they may be able to come back, but Sister Kindle Ball has breast cancer. She's getting treatment in Decatur. Adam, their son's here tonight. He's still working in South Africa, so try to meet him if you can. But the Kindle Balls, unfortunately, have had to move over here for the time being while she has her cancer treatments. And the Maydells are in the process of moving over to take care of her mother, who has dementia up in St. Louis. And so they're going to move back permanently, but still make trips, Lord willing, to Zimbabwe and do some work up there. But it'll be sad to lose them. They've been great, hard workers in the kingdom in that area for a long time. They're not going to stop working, but they're just not there. So that's something that we're missing. But that's the presentation for tonight. I hope that helped you to see a little bit more of the work that's going on there, at least in what I'm part of, and Mzwandile and my grandfather. But tonight, I know this presentation was mostly to encourage Christians to help people see the work of the Lord is going strong in other places, just as it is here. Even if it's done a little bit in different ways, but it's the same gospel always reaching people. And that's important to recognize. The same gospel that saves people in South Africa is the gospel that saves us here. There's one gospel for Jew and for Gentile, isn't there? There's only one gospel. I just want to read one verse that I'm sure most of us are very familiar with, and that's in Mark chapter 16. This is after Jesus' resurrection, and he says, I'll read verse 15 and 16. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." Well, which gospel to which people? Just the gospel to all creation. The same gospel, the same message, exact same one, saves everybody everywhere. And he says in verse 16, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." That's what the king says. the one who's in charge. That's what the judge says. That the one gospel must be believed and that you must be baptized to be saved. Have you done that? Have you obeyed the gospel that Sister Shandu and Brother Mshlongo and others have obeyed? Have you obeyed the gospel that saves? The gospel message of Christ, that he died for your sins, that he'll take them away. You'll obey him in faith, confessing him, and be baptized into his death. Are you ready to do that tonight? If you need to repent of your sins or you need any other assistance from the church that you need to make known tonight, you can do that also. If you'll come forward as we stand and sing.